Okay. The symbols are particularly are a strong sort of red flag after Christmas, the winter, where we are visit. That symbol of the place of this cathedral, we have one of those things that we know one of the parents has been keeping in his pocket for a long time. And it is about names. And it is the fact that we have given names to one of them. First of all, we decided that they are three of them, because there were three gifts, so there must have been three of them. Nowhere in the Gospels is there any mention of a number of them. And because we need a relationship with them, we've given them names as the family of the they're there. But where did they come from? What have they part of the whole business of the system showing the story? I was pressed my parents for giving me the name they gave me. They gave me the name Graham, and then decided to spell it in a completely awkward way. So they say my name G-R-A-E-N-E. They then gave me a surname that nobody can spell either. And so I spend the whole of my life spelling my name. Yes, my name is Graham Moore. G-R-A-E-N-E. H-R-A-E-N-E. Oh, the boy says at the other end, isn't it? Yes, that's right. No, yes, K-O-O-L-L-Y-S, no, K-O-O. And all those, that business of names. But our names are important to us. You know that list of business when somebody rings you up to tell you double dozen, and they say, hello, Graham, and they say, you say, sweet, that's the truth. And the person says, my name's Mike. And you say, good, good, it's Mike. And he says, and how are you? And I say, I'm very well, thank you. And then he says, have you got double dozen? And I say, yes, and I say, yes. And he says, why are all this done? Why use your name when you have no idea what you are doing? Why use that which is really intimate for you? And those of you who have got a nickname, some of you have probably said, how does that look like a nickname that isn't actually how you feel about it? What's your nickname? Yes. And it has nothing to do with your given name. That's what it's good. So you got an oath, which is very specific to yours. And you guard that. There is an important thing to the Google audience, which is called credit. And of course, there's always known as credit. And even now, when we look into the scriptures and how they know the scriptures, I would never dream of calling him anything. We call him Father, because that's the person of the internet, the infinite name. So why is this visiting bishop going on so much about names? But we notice in Isaiah, reading from Isaiah this morning, there's a mention of name. God calls by name. And it's an extraordinary thing to contemplate that God actually chooses to call us by our name. He wants a relationship with us which is that intimate. But he wants to know exactly who and what we are, and so therefore calls us by our name. And that takes us into a whole new realm of what our relationship with God actually is. Sometimes we like to keep God at a comfortable distance, where he's safe and controlled and at well somewhere. But this God, our God, wants to know us by name and knows us to the very depth of our being. And that's quite frightening in itself as well. All the little bits of ourselves that we actually choose either to deny or to announce or to hide. The little bits of ourselves that we're not awfully proud of. And God knows us to the very depth of our being. At this point, do we run away? No, we respond. Because God is committed to loving us exactly as we are. We need not altogether approve of the books we have, but that's for us to deal with, us to cope with, us to change. But he loves us as we are, unconditionally. There is no ifs or buts. God's love has changed us. In that moment, we see Noah to trust with his arms outstretched like that. Noah is there to receive you. Noah is there to love you. And it's that relationship into which we enter. The Lord is supposed to do that. I have a member of chapter who always had the last question of interviews. Interviews were always quite jolly. Everybody wants to see how good they were. So they all asked very clever questions of some poor candidate that had come along. And this one particular person had the last question. And he looked like somebody told his answer. He had a lovely smile, and was gentle, and he would smile at the candidate and say, "Well, thank you so much for all this. I just have one question to end with." The book falls, and it comes over the river, and it goes into the book. He would say, "What is your one sermon?" And the book falls. And the world split into 50-50. There'll be the one, the candidate who yours is last, and says, "My one sermon is the love of God within it." And the other one took the stone and started building for a whole world. And got deeper and deeper and deeper. And we say, we all have one thing. Each Sunday, we all keep one thing. It's very different every Sunday, but it's one thing. What's your one thing? And it's a question about revealing what that person felt about their faith. And I have to own that because I have one thing. And that is that we are made in the image and likeness of God. We are made in the image and likeness of God. And that's terrifying. Just look at the person sitting next to you in the pew. God looks like that. That's God. That's where God chooses to dwell. And that's fine, but it's terrifying that God chooses to be to dwell within us. God chooses to dwell within us as he takes the next step in our life. And that image of likeness is what we take out into the world. It's how we express who and what we are as Christian men and women. If the world is to be turned around, if the world is to be changed, if we are to aid in the bringing of God's kingdom, then that's what we have to reveal to the world. In what we do, what we say, and what we are. We cannot stay silent with this amazing joy in our hearts, made in the image and likeness of God. God chooses us to be his people. The heavens opened when Jesus was baptized in the voice of, "This is my beloved Son." God owned Jesus at that moment. This morning, God will own with us. God will give us on again the gift of his Spirit. As I know it comes on again today, remember your own journey of faith. Remember the promises made at your baptism, the promises made at your confirmation. You know the old joke? How to get rid of bats from the church, confirming because you'll never see them again. But that's not what we see of you. Show you still are. Show you still are on your journey. Still moving. Still moving. If ever in your Christian journey you find yourself sitting down, there is something the matter. Get up and move. And today we give thanks for that movement. We give thanks that in your world there will be three. We were included in God's plan. The manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, to us, the others, the rest of the world. The God's Son, Jesus represents the rest of the world at the back. And we are the rest of the world when it comes to this first post-it. And in the Tiffany, we are included.